powerful that we have to be in tune to what God is telling us to do. You know, we won't be judged by what we want to do or what we feel like we're going to do. We're going to be judged by what he called us to do, what he created us for. So today, as we go into the lesson, praying this name, the word of God, I want you to really hear what we're saying today so you'll hear. I see some new faces in the room today, and does everybody have a handout or who needs a handout? Okay, I have several, 1, 2, 3. And Rita, I know I'm always asking you, but I know you always so beautiful to do this. Drop some extras, but I think maybe we need about four of them. Okay, so Rita's so sweet, is always getting those handouts. So what's that? Today, well, my pages are different, but we're doing praying this name. 218 is praying this name. And you know, last week we talked about living this name. And again, it's, you know, as we're talking about the word of God, it's like, it's really a powerful lesson when we talk about how to live the word of God. And so many times we have to lay ourselves down. We have to realize that because we were born in this world of sin, when Jesus saved us, he pulled us out of this vat of filth, you know. And if you ever pulled a cloth out of a vat of filth, it's still got a bunch of stuff on it. And that's the way we are sometimes. And it takes time for us to let go of the things of the world, and especially in our mind. We're so used to handling things our way and the way we want to handle it. And Jesus comes in and he's got a totally different way. And 99.9% of the time, it's going to go against your feelings. It's going to go against what you feel. So we really have to get a grip on our feelings and deal with overcoming. And we're going to talk about that today, because you're going to overcome in the prayer closet. You're going to overcome as you spend time in prayer. So today we're going to talk about praying this name. And hopefully you guys got a handout. We're going to be going over this handout. If you don't have one, there's some over there on the table. And our key verse for praying this name is a verse from Hebrews 4, verses 12 through 13. And this is the Berean Study Bible. And it says, "For the word of God," and you know this, "is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword." I'm going to stop right there and says, you've got to be prepared for the fact that the word of God is going to cut both ways. It'll deal with what you're dealing with, and it's going to cut you too. So you have to be prepared for that when we talk about praying the word of God. It pierces even to dividing soul, mind, which are mind, will, and emotions, and we're going to talk about that piece, and spirit, where the place where Christ dwells within you. And we're going to really break that down later on in the lesson. Joints, the movement of the bone. The joints is a place where the bone moves. I kept wondering about that part. Joints and marrow. I kept talking about dividing between joints and marrow. What does that mean exactly? And, you know, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit was showing me that the joints is a place where the bones move. So it's what you do. It's the movement that it's talking about. So the word of God comes along and it divides between the joints and the marrow. And the marrow is the inner part of the bone, the source of nourishment of the bones, or what drives or feeds the movement. It is where, and it is also the place where your blood is made. You know, your blood is made in your bone marrow. You know, if we can just do an anatomy and physiology lesson for a minute, and that's why I gave you this handout, so you can just see the depth of the marrow. The marrow is where the blood is made, and the blood is what flows throughout the entire body. And if the blood is diseased, the whole body is diseased. So when he talks about, and the word of God talks about, I'm dividing between what you do, your movement, and then the source of what you do. Boy, that's powerful. Because sometimes we do a lot of things for a lot of different reasons. And the reasons may not always be because of the will of God. The reason could be other ways. But the word of God comes along and it deals with us. The depths of why we do what we do. Why do you do what you do? And that's where the word of God, when you're praying this name, the word of God, you're asking the word of God to really assess what's going on in your marrow. What's in your marrow, basically? What's in the deepest part of you that motivates you to do what you do? I mean, we can come out, we can put on a pretty face, and we can put on our pretty clothes, and we can do all of our good deeds, but the Word of God is going to search. What's going on in your marrow? What's the source? What is it to show off? Is it to be spoken? Is it to be so somebody can mention your name? And what if they don't mention your name? You know right away. I know I've done things, and you know, I was working hard and doing all these things. And you know, when the time came for the praise and the accolades, they did not mention my name. And I felt it. I felt what was in my marrow. It came up. And folks, you know what it is. No matter what we do, we go all the way around, it always comes back to pride. I have to quote my friend Andrew Murray again, because he says, every human sin, you can track back to pride. We can cover it up, we can dress it up, we can try to make it look pretty, but it comes back to pride. And we have to look at, is pride in our marrow? Because the Word of God will find it. The Word of God will find it. That's why Jesus said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Because if you do something, it should not be a big broadcast. You do it as unto the Lord. Or are you doing it as unto the Lord? Are you doing it so you can be seen? So you can get the accolades? No one ever mentions your name, never gives you credit for it. Will you be all right? Can you say, praise God, Lord, I know it's counted in heaven. You wrote it down. They don't ever have to mention my name. So again, we have to really look at what's in our mouth. Thank you so much. Okay. Whoever needs a handout, please raise your hand and Rita will give you a handout. Whoever needs one. So I wanted to really break down this. To continue this verse, it says, it is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. See, it goes along with that marrow piece. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and exposed before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Folks, you're going to have to give an account. Just like we just saw in this video. You have to give an account for what you do. You can't just hide it. You can't, you know, we talked about sitting on your gifts and sitting on your talents and, you know, so afraid to do this and so afraid to do that. It's a spirit. You got to cast off that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. He's gotten the victory over all spirits that would hinder you from doing what he's called you to do. And the Word of God will deal with you, and it will talk to you. You know, so again, if we're talking about praying this name, we're talking about really getting before God and saying, God, what have you called me to do? I don't want to hear what everyone told me I'm good at and all of that. Lord, what have you called me to do? The first point on our lesson under praying this name says, in Christ we have a Savior who creates, sustains, and triumphs. And that's from our book in page 177. And we're going to break these areas down. As we pray in Jesus' name, the Word of God, we can break down our prayers into the areas of create, sustain, and triumph. So we go back to creation. Okay, we talked about the whole theme of this lesson is creation. So first, as we're in our prayer closet, we're asking God to do something in us. We're asking him to create something in us. So under create, it says, we pray for Christ to create what is spoken in his word in us, in those around us, and in the situations we encounter in life. We walk into every situation in life as his agents of praying his word. His creative power into the environment. Do you understand that? As a child of God, you are a creative agent for God. You don't have to go in and deal with and just tolerate the attitude of the room. Go in there as a child of God and start praying. And rebuke those spirits and tell them to get out of there in the name of Jesus. So we go in with his creative power. We can change the environment around us. If we are praying this name, the Word of God, we pray for his love, his peace, his joy, and all the fruit of his Holy Spirit, as well as his justice, his agenda, and his purposes on the earth. See, the Word of God, see, it's not about your agenda. It's about his agenda. It's not about your justice. It's about his justice. And in his justice, he forgives people. In his justice, he will deal with it. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. God never called you to repay to anybody anything. In fact, he told you, do not return evil for evil or insult for insult. Oh, there's a word of God again. And that's the hardest thing for us humans to do because, man, I got the power. And my fist is already in a ball, ready to go. You know, we're ready. That's our human. That's that flesh, you know. And you feel, that's what, it's in our marrow. Somebody comes and they hit you the wrong way. Oh my goodness, before you know it, you've, because it's in our marrow. And that's why we've got to pray God, the Holy Spirit, Word of God, come and divide between what I do and what's in my marrow. Oh Lord, do put something in there so that I'm doing what you want, so that the Word of God is in my marrow. So that I'm ready to forgive when it first happens. I'm not going to hold to it, and I'm not going to fester it, and I'm not going to let it grow into something huge and big. If you would just forgive at the moment it happened, you could save yourself a lot of heartache, a lot of sleepless nights. If you would just forgive it right then and there and let it go. But no, I got to fester on this, and I can't let you think that you just got away with treating me like that. Human. It's human. It's not holy, it's human. So we've got, again, to get a whole new mindset, and that's why we need to pray the Word of God over our life, because it's so different. He must increase, and we must decrease if he is to create what he wills. And I know you just prayed that. He must increase. And, you know, this was John that said this. He, you know, when Jesus was coming on the scene, I mean, John had his ministry going and he was doing all his thing and he was baptizing and doing this thing. But when the Son of God came on the scene, his words were, he must increase and I must decrease. See, he knew his calling. He knew what he was called to do. He knew, I am a forerunner for the Christ. But when the Christ arrives, he must increase and I must decrease. Wow, powerful. Knew his calling. And boy, the compliment, I just think about the compliment that Jesus Christ gave John. He said, of all the men, there's no man that has been like John. Boy, can you imagine the Christ giving you that, such a compliment? Because John knew what his calling was. And when the time came, John was ready to step back so that the Christ could come forward and do what he needed to do. He must increase and we must decrease if he is to create what he wills. For some of us, before we can even pray, first of all, we must lay down his will, our will, and concede to his will. Some of us are not even in a place where he can increase in us because we are not ready to lay down our will. We've got our idea and we got our agenda. I know it. All the cholerics in the room, you know it. You've got your idea, you've got your agenda, and you're not ready yet to even concede to his will. So how in the world can he ever increase in you? So we must pray for the whole counsel of God, of his word, if we are to see the full creativity and purpose of it. His creativity in us and others may pierce us, and he may have to remove things, and even people, that inhibit his creative power in our lives, but we must pray in faith, thy will be done. And that's the hardest thing, especially, and I think the hardest thing is relationships. Oh man, when he starts messing with those relationships, and he will, you start praying his name, the word of God, you get in that prayer closet, I'm telling you, he will mess with some of these relationships. Some of us are in toxic relationships and you don't want to let it go of it because you think in your mind, I'm going to be able to fix this someday, somehow. If this just happens and that just happens and this goes here and that goes there and if they would just do this, then it would be all right. And the enemy's got you deceived. Because if you get in your prayer closet, sometimes God is going to tell you to let that go. Let me have them. Let me deal with them. You know, and sometimes, guys, sometimes it's a family member. Sometimes it can be. And God says, let me deal with it. Stay out of it. Let me deal with it. But God, God, let me deal with it. Because God will take care of that situation. The psalmist said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right, a loyal, a steadfast spirit within me. That's Psalm 51:10. Create it. Make it in me a clean heart because I don't have a clean heart. This was a prayer David prayed after he committed adultery with another man's wife and then had the man murdered. And he said this song, it was in his marrow. He had to say, create in me a clean heart and renew a right, because I have been disloyal to you, God. I have been disloyal. I did what I wanted to do, and I violated your law. And give me a loyal and a steadfast spirit. And that's such a beautiful prayer to pray. If you don't know what else to pray to start with when you come to dealing with creating that heart, this is a good one right here. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right and a loyal and a steadfast spirit within me. And I love the fact this man was a king. He was a king. He didn't have to do anything. He could do whatever he wanted. He could take whatever he wanted, and he did. Oh, but he couldn't get away from God. And he came back and he prayed this prayer before God. We have to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And we have to get this overcoming part done on our emotions. And so I'm going to talk about a little bit, how do you overcome emotions? You know, because emotions is just thoughts mixed with our biology. You know, it's the thoughts that's going in your head. And those thoughts create tears. You know, the thoughts in your head creates your heart rate to go up. You know, if you think a monster's coming, your heart rate's going to go up. It's called the fight or flight response, okay? If you even think it, if you hear the roar of a lion, you don't have to even see the lion. If you just hear it and the thought in your mind, a lion's coming, your heart rate is going up. Those are emotions. So we have to learn how we overcome emotions. And that's why the scripture says that we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. It's not that your emotions are, it's not that your heart rate's not going to go up, because it will go up. That's your biology. It's not that you're not going to, tears are not going to come out of your eyes. Yes, tears are going to flow down your eyes. So they didn't say take your biology captive. The scripture doesn't say take captive your biology. It says take captive what's going on up here. Because many people march into battle scared to death. So they're afraid, but they take captive the thought and they focus on what they need to do. And that's what the Holy Spirit is calling you to do. He's saying you have to take captive, because God's not going to violate your free will. He's not going to make you do anything. You know that. That's a gift he gave to us. Free will. So he's expecting you. Lord, I'm going to take captive this thought and I'm going to make it obedient to Christ. You turn on some praise and worship. You knew what you need to do to get those thoughts out of your head. Those thoughts that, you know, thoughts of strife. You know, I don't know about you, but the enemy's always got something going on in my head about how I need to tell somebody something. You know, as I said, I'm a speech maker. How I need to go to work and tell somebody, give somebody a speech. Just thought. Nothing even happened. But I got the speech ready. And I said, I got to take captive every thought. Every morning, I'm like, I got to keep the praise and worship going, because he'll be right there. And you know, they're going to do it again today like they did yesterday. You talk to them, but you know, oh, take captive every thought. I tell them, devil, you're a liar. Devil, you're a liar. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right and a loyal spirit within me, Lord God. Cast me not away from your presence, Lord God. I praise you today because you go before me, Lord God. You go into that workplace, Lord God, and you make the crooked places straight. You cast down spirits of strife, because I'm walking in there as a child, as an agent of God. And walk through that place and create an atmosphere for believers and non-believers. I don't care if they don't believe Jesus. You go in there with authority, because he's already won the victory. Amen. They're serving the loser. You're serving the victor. I can't wait till we get to the last and final chapter of this book. The captain of the host of the Lord. Look out, folks. He's on his white horse in that one. So I can't wait. So we got to go in there. We got to go in there with victory. Create, Lord. Create. Do what you need to do. And don't let biology rule over you. Don't let thoughts rule over you. They're just thoughts. But what you think about is what you're going to do. So you take thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. And how do you do that? You by the word of God, you do it. You say what the word of God says. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hurt you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. And that's a hard one because our emotions are like, no, no, no. Especially those of you that have the power to hurt them back. Oh, that's a hard one. Because I got the power and the authority to hurt them back. Oh, but he says, pray for them. Do not return evil for evil or insult for insult. Oh, again, that word of God, it's a two-edged sword because it's going to cut you as well as deal with the situation. So as we go forward, we don't give in to these thoughts. We move forward. Your example, like a builder or renovator that must tear down the old to make room for the new, Christ, as the word of God, must cut away those things which are sin, which lead to death. Christ, the quick and powerful two-edged sword, must divide our soul, our mind, our will and emotions from our spirit where Christ dwells within us for his word to have its creative work in us. Wow. And that's the hardest of things. You know, it sounds good on paper. It really does. That sounds so beautiful when I first read that. But boy, to have to live that, to divide between my emotions and then where Christ is living and what Christ wants to do is hard. You know, I was, we're in the middle of a building project right now. And while they're adding to our building, they had to take away the entire sidewalk in front of our front door. And so one day I was standing there and I was looking out as they brought in this bulldozer. And this bulldozer, my God, it shook the building just by moving. Oh my goodness. It was just, I was like, man, the power in that thing. And then it came right up to the door. And it started to hit on the sidewalk that was there because they had to build a whole new sidewalk. And they started to hit on that sidewalk. And it kept hitting. And I'm like, I was watching it and it just kept beating and beating. And finally, that sidewalk cracked. And then it cracked into all these pieces. And then this bulldozer, you know, it has these teeth at the end and this big scoop with teeth. And it scooped up that concrete and moved it away to another area. And the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, he gave me a revelation. I'm like, Lord, that's us. Isn't that us? Just the way we are. Jesus is knocking. The word of God is telling you, do not return evil for evil. But you don't know what they did to me. Do not do it. Love them. Love your enemies. And you keep, but they hurt me so bad and they even embarrass me, Lord. Love them. Love them. Love them. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And finally, finally, be encouraged. That concrete's going to crack. It'll crack. God's word is like a hammer. It says that in the word. That concrete in you is going to crack. I don't care how hard you are. If God could crack Saul and make him into Paul, the evangelist, who wrote a third of the New Testament, this man was going around killing Christians. Oh, he can crack you too. Yes, he had to knock him off his horse and he had to blind him. Yes, he did. And some of us, especially us strong-willed people, hey, he may have to beat on you a bit. Yes, he may have to beat on you a bit. And if you're going through stuff, sometimes that's the word of God beating on you. You know what to do. Sometimes we just hope God will change his mind. Going to the altar week after week after week with the same request. And God has already told you no. But I hope he would change. No. No. That concrete needs to break. It needs to break. The word of God, it's unchangeable. It's unmutable. God is not going to change his mind. He's not going to change his word. And the reason for that is because he loves us so much. He's not going to give you what is going to kill you. But he's nice. But she's beautiful. No, daughter. No, son. We've got to hear the word of God because it'll keep hitting us until we crack, until we bend. It was just such a beautiful thing. And then weeks later, the concrete people came in and they started to build a new sidewalk. And oh my goodness, it was just so much more spectacular and beautiful than the sidewalk that was there before. It was so grand. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. You know, we just had a strip of concrete and now we've got this big, beautiful walkway. And again, the Lord is showing, that's what I want to do. But some of you won't let go of the old concrete. We got concrete in our hearts, walled off areas where we won't forgive people. And Jesus is knocking. Let it go. Forgive them. Let it go. No, let it go. So he can build something beautiful in you. The scripture says he gives you beauty for ashes. But he needs you to let it go. The next one in your lesson said, in Jesus, we can pray for Christ's creative power to flow into every situation we encounter. That's from our book. And the book is Living and Praying in Jesus' Name by Jack Hayford. Someone was asking that. He can create love where there was hate, peace where there was war, unity where there was division, hallelujah, clarity where there was confusion, forgiveness where there was pride, and life was there where there was death. It's all up to you. Really, it's all up to you. You got to trust him. He is creator. You may think so many things have happened. Too many things have gone wrong. There's just nothing we can do. Oh, but let the power of God get in there and watch him create something that was not there before by the word. So that's just the create part, guys. Let's move on to the sustaining part. Sustain. Secondly, we pray for the word of God to be sustained in us. And let me just, there's necessary maintenance required on sustaining the word of God in us because we have a formidable enemy who wants nothing more than to steal away the word of God with lies. You can come to church on Sunday, the enemy will have that stuff stolen out of you in a minute. With a lie. You could hear it, you know, how we leave church and we're feeling all good and we're going to go home and have our little Sunday dinner. By Sunday night, joy, peace, everything. Because the enemy works to steal it away. That's why it has to be sustained. It has to be maintained. You need to be praying outside of this church. You need to be reading your Bible outside of this church. You have a formidable enemy. He is not to be fooled with. He was here long before you got here. Theologians believe he's been around for millions of years, and you just showed up. So you need to be getting close to the only person who has a resume longer than his is our Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to draw close to him. After Christ has laid the new foundation of his word, he will sustain it through our prayers without ceasing and keeping the whole armor of God maintained within us. The word of God through the Holy Spirit is faithful to remind you to stand in the time of testing. He will sustain you as you reach for him over your human way. Hallelujah. And it's hard to do sometimes. Sometimes you're reaching with tears. I know they broke your heart. I know it. I know they hurt you. But sometimes you're reaching to Jesus with the tears coming down your eyes. As the scripture has said, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through him, through your union with him, and in the power of his boundless might. Put on the full armor of God. For his precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavenly armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. And this is Ephesians 6, 10 through 11, and that's the Amplified. So you have to understand that the enemy is, he's a strategist. That's why I'm like, you have no hope fighting him on your own. He's a strategist, and he's been around, he's been doing this longer than we've been alive. So he's has all the tricks, all the deceits. And some of us, you know, some of us that are parents, you know, we know this. Because the same thing we see our kids doing, we did it. And we'll tell them, daughter, don't do that. Son, don't do that. Been there, done that. I've seen that. No, 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 you don't want to go there. Oh, no, you don't want to get involved with that one. And of course, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Because the enemy, again, is playing the same tricks over and over again. Because he's a deceitful and he's a strategist. And he gets in the minds of the youth and the young generation thinking, you know, he told them the lie that your parents don't know anything. That's a lie. You know, he tells them that lie. They don't know. They don't understand. They're old, so therefore, because they're old, they don't know. What kind of logic is that? I mean, logic dictates the longer you've been around, the more you know. But the enemy would tell them, you don't know. They don't know. It's a whole new world. No, it isn't. Same old world. Amen. Same thing people were doing 100 years ago, they're doing now. People think it's new. Isn't it new? All the stuff you see going on in the United States has gone on for thousands of years in human race. Nothing's new. But the enemy tells people lies so that history keeps repeating itself over and over and over again. Boy, if you get a chance to read Jonathan Cahn's new book, The Paradigm. A paradigm is like a structure or a pattern. And he just breaks this down, how the pattern repeats itself, is repeating itself over and over in human history. It's amazing, but it's true. You know, we do the same things that we've done that our ancestors did, unfortunately. So as we look at our lesson, it said it's important to recognize that this sustaining in Christ, the Word of God, is new to you as a human being born in sin and accustomed to handling the issues of this life in a human way. Yeah, it is new. Therefore, you must learn, practice leaning into and trusting in on those hard days when you are angry or hurting or disappointed. Those emotions can be so strong and they may seem so powerful, but you can overcome them. You can use the discipline of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, discipline me now. Because this is what I'm feeling. My blood is at a low simmer. Holy Spirit, help me. And the Holy Spirit will come and cool that blood right on down. So you can go and you can do it God's way. Allow the Word of God to sustain you by believing Him over the voices of your human self and the enemy. Choose in that moment to pray and to praise in your pain, and He will come to you and sustain you. Hallelujah. Yes. I'm a witness, guys. I'm a witness. Heartbroken, beaten. I felt like I was filleted open one time. I just felt like I was filleted open. I'm like, Lord, just take me now. I'm just filleted open. I have nothing left. I have nothing left. But if you call on Him, I'm telling you, He will come. And He will heal the wounds. There are things I look back, I said, I have no idea how I got through that day. After hearing that, how in the world did I make it through that day? And I remember one time I was taking care of my two toddlers, and I was like, Lord, I don't know how those children made it through the day and how they got fed. I don't know, because I was there by myself. But Jesus, He can help you. Don't let the liar tell you it's all a fairy tale. And I'm telling you. Do you ever wonder? I mean, it's been 2,000 years have come and gone, and He's still central figure of the human race. Why? Because He's real. I know Mama said it, Grandmama said it, Great-Grandmama said it, but I'm telling you, He's real. Hallelujah, I'm telling you. So don't be tossed to and fro any longer by everything that comes along. You know, the enemy will have you running around like a gerbil on one of those gerbil wheels, running around. The enemy will have you just doing that, never making any progress in your life because he's got you looking here and looking there. And oh, this happened. Oh, let me do that. Oh, this happened. Just unstable because your emotions got you all over the place instead of focusing on what has God called you to do and do it. And don't let the enemy distract you because, see, this is one of his schemes, I'm going to tell you. He can't stop you, so what he does is distract you. And he does that. He will distract you. He'll make you think you need to go ahead and put this fire out over here. So many times the Lord says, focus on your work. Focus on, but focus on your work and what I've called you to do. Let me fight for you. Hold your peace and the Lord will fight for you. That's from Exodus. Lord was showing me that scripture. He said, do you know what was happening in Exodus? Moses is sitting here with like almost a million people. I think it was probably a little more than a million people. And they got the sea on one side and Pharaoh's army behind them. This was a life or death situation. I mean, are we dealing with that on a daily basis? No, usually not. But this is what these people were doing. And then God is telling them, hold your peace. Don't pick up a sword. Hold your peace. And I will fight for you. Wow. And he did. The Jewish race is alive today. He did. So what about your situation and your issues and your problems? He can take it. So many times I'm like, Lord, but I got this, Jesus. I got just the right speech to say. And I thought it was good. And he said, hold your peace and let me fight for you. And you know, folks, this is a lesson I had to learn. He'll let me get out there and start doing my thing and gabbing. And so many times it just falls apart. Took flight and boom. I thought it was taking flight and boom. And then I've come back to him crying, Lord, it didn't work. And it even got worse. And I love God because he doesn't cast me away. He says, okay, come on. You ready to do this my way now? Yes. We'll do it your way. I'm just going to be quiet and let you do it. And he does it. He's faithful. So again, I challenge you. Let's start being stable and let's start being solid in the Lord and see what God does. Aren't you tired of just running around in circles? Not making any progress in your life. Year after year after year after year after year. You're the same. Nothing's changing. Because you won't let that word of God come and start knocking down that stuff. And carry it up. Scoop it up and take it far from you. So he can build something beautiful and grand in your life. But it's up to you. It's all up to you. So sustain. Let him sustain that word in you. Keep fighting for it. Don't let the enemy steal the word away, but keep it strong in your mind. I love the fact that the Bible is on our phones now. We just flip that thing open. You got a scripture right then and there. The final part of this is triumph, praying triumph. So we pray creating. We pray that he sustains us, and we pray for triumph. Christ, the word of God, has already won the battle. What he has spoken is already accomplished. We are merely walking it out on this earth. He is the Alpha, the beginning of all things, the Omega, the end of all things. He has already seen your victory in him. Already seen it, already done. His word is the roadmap and the instruction manual to that victory already won for you. As you pray in his name, the word of God, you pray God's word over your life. Not what was in your life or what people are saying about you, but what the word of God says you are. I'm telling you, I don't care what people are saying about you. I don't care what you did yesterday. Today, begin listening to what the Word of God says you are. Don't let people define you. That's one of our issues. We just let everybody just all in our ears. I mean, some of us look like a jigsaw puzzle. Just all these little pieces. They don't even make up a picture. They just, because we're listening to everything other people say about us. Just listen to the Word of God and what it says you are. And be careful. Don't agree with anyone who tells you you're something different than the Word of God. We already talked about this in previous lessons. Don't be saying bad things about yourself. You know, don't say negative things about yourself. Because, you know, I'm telling you, it hurts God's heart. Because you are His creation. And when you say, I'm just this and I'm just... Stop that. I know it's commonplace in our planet, in human society, that we put ourselves down. I'll never be able to do that. Oh, you do that so well. Oh, you're so this and you're so, oh, but I'll never be. And I can't. Oh, I. Stop it. In Jesus' name. What does the Word say you are? You are a child of the Most High God. You are a conqueror. You're a holy priesthood. You're a royal priesthood in a holy nation. Start speaking that over you. As of today, as of this moment, start speaking it. I don't care what you did yesterday. Repent of it. If you need to repent, repent. Yes, that is a critical piece. Go ahead and repent. But then after that, start speaking what God says over you. And I was reminded of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And if you really, if you really look at her situation, she was an unwed mother in a community that would have stoned her. Okay, it's not like we have here today. You could be unwed, but nobody's going to stone you. In fact, people will help you and come alongside. But that wasn't the case back in Mary's day. She was an unwed mother in a community that would stone her. But she agreed with what the Word of God said about her. In Luke 1, verse 28, it says, "And the angel of the Lord came unto her and said, Hail thou, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." That's what the angel said before he told her that she was going to conceive of the Holy Spirit. And then after he said all of this, in verse 38, she says, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." She agreed. She agreed with what the message from God said about her and what she was going to do. And then she went to go visit Elizabeth, her cousin Elizabeth. And in verse 41 of Luke, it says, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Hallelujah. So that's what Elizabeth spoke over Mary. "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." The unwed mother in the community where she was going to be stoned, and this is what she has to say about herself. All generations are going to call me blessed. In the situation, you know, and I can imagine maybe Joseph was coming around, but still, in the situation. And this is what she said about herself. In the situation, because of what God had said, what the Word of God had said about her. So folks, I'm telling you, start speaking with the Word of God. Start praying that over yourself. You know, this whole lesson has been about you, has been about creating in you. So start speaking the creative Word of God within yourself, because you can't even radiate it out to others until you get a good grip on it. And you start speaking those things over yourself. You're not hanging yourself down low and like, you know, walking around like Eeyore. Thanks for noticing me. You're a child of the Most High God. Lift your head up. Thou, O Lord, art shield about me. You're my glory and the one who lifts my head. Amen. That's what we should be about. The next point in your lesson said, as everything we think, say, and do is exposed before the word of God, we take captive, there it is, every thought and make it obedient to Christ, the word of God in prayer. And that's 2 Corinthians 10:5. This is our triumph. As the word exposes our sin, we bring it to the word for the victory over it. This is the process of triumph. Sin exposed and then subdued by the word of God, and then we walk away free of it. The word of God is going to expose your sin. Little by little, the more I get to know God, the more I realize what a sinner I was. I was like, man, his grace, you know, 10, 20 years into my salvation, I'm like, he's still covering stuff for me. Because he showed me, okay, now we need to deal with, what? Me? Yes, you. But, yes, you. And I just love that he keeps working. He keeps bringing me to victory over victory over victory. And I triumph. When he exposes it, when the word of God shows me, don't argue with the word of God. Repent of it and overcome. Then Christ, your lesson says, then Christ has made promises to him or her who overcomes. He who has an ear, let him hear and heed what the Spirit says to the churches. And I put all these scriptures here from Revelation because the way he just talks about to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes. Over and over again, meaning you can overcome. I mean, really, you can't come to God and say, I just couldn't do it. Yes, you could. He said you could overcome. The word of God says you can overcome this. The issue is you don't want to. You know, the bottom line, I like it, Jesus. I like it, and I want to keep doing it. That's the bottom line. But he or she who overcomes. And I just want to read this list to you about when he talks about overcoming. It says, to him who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, I will grant the privilege to eat fruit from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. That's Revelation 2:7. Eat the fruit of the tree of life, living forever and ever. And it's not just life in God. I mean, that's a different life than just life existing. That's life in God. Next one says, he who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God will not be hurt by the second death, the lake of fire. That's a biggie. That's a Revelation 2:11. So I'm glad for that one. All right there. Okay. Next one, to him who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, to him I will give the privilege of eating some of the hidden manna, and I will give to him a white stone with a new name engraved on the stone, which no one knows except the one who receives it. That Revelation 2:17. And I love that one, because once you change so much and change so much in Christ and you grow up in Christ, you're going to need a new name, because you're not going to be who you used to be. He's going to make you differently, and he's going to give you that special name that's engraved, meaning that no one can take that name away. It's engraved on a stone. The next one says, and he who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and he who keeps my deeds, doing things that please me until the very end, to him I will give authority and power over the nations. Revelation 2:26. And again, I'm always asking God, what nations are you talking about? What? But we're going to be rulers. You understand? You know, I just wonder, Jesus, why do we have to be mature? I mean, really, can't we just accept you and just let that be? But for some reason, he wants us to be mature. He wants us to grow up. And I think the reason is because you're going to be ruling over nations, and you need maturity, and you need to be strong, and you need to be capable. The next one says, he who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He will most certainly never be put out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which descends out of heaven from my God, and my own new name, Revelation 3:12. I'm telling you, what this whole verse talks about is belonging. Some of us, we feel like we don't belong. No matter. Sometimes some people feel like they don't belong in their family. I've heard people say, I just don't feel like I belong anywhere. What Jesus is saying here is that you're going to know you belong, because there's going to be a pillar. You will be a pillar in my Father's house. And your name, I will write on him, the name of my God will be on you. You will have such a sense of belonging like you never have known before. You will not feel like an outsider. You will not feel like you don't belong. I think that should be a comfort to all of us as human beings. I think as human beings, we always have that sense, I don't belong, I don't fit in. I'm different. But Jesus is telling you, if you overcome, you will never ever sense that you don't belong ever again. I'm going to make sure of that. The next part says, he who overcomes the world through believing Jesus is the Son of God, I will grant him the privilege to sit beside me on my throne, as also I overcame and sat beside my Father on his throne. I love that one. That's Revelation 3:21, that we get to sit beside him. I just saw this vision of, you ever seen a little kid sit next to their daddy? I mean, they're sitting next to their daddy and nothing's going to bother them while they're sitting next to their daddy. They're like, you know, before you even look at me funny, you got to deal with this guy. So that kid is just sitting there and they feel such a sense of safety and such a sense of peace and such a sense of love and belonging because I'm with my daddy. That's what he's saying. You're going to sit beside me and nobody's going to mess with you. That's what he's saying. I mean, it's just all these things that we long for as human beings. Jesus said, if you would just overcome, if you would just do what my word says, this is all the things that you would have. So you can overcome. There will not be a day when you stand before Christ, like we saw in this video, and just saying, I couldn't do it. I thought there will be no excuses, because you can overcome by his word. And then our final segment says, oh, beloved. That's what he calls you, you know. He calls you his beloved. Christ made these promises to you as you overcome because he knows that you can triumph in him. He made it so.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The true triumph is the triumph within your soul. It is the victory over the battle you fight every day within yourself to line up with the word of God, to die daily. Oh, that's hard. That's so hard. Oh my God, that is so hard. I know it looked good in the Bible and it looks really pretty when we're reading it, but boy, to actually die daily is hard. So that the word of God can triumph in you, but it can be done. Therefore, shout out your battle cry of victory as you overcome. So ready, set, go. Any comments? Any questions? My mic died in the middle of this, so we're going to have to just talk loud. Anybody has any comments before we dismiss? Go.
And I just want to say I'm glad to be back.
Yes, we're glad to have you back.
Yes. I'm just glad that he's so patient.
Yes.
You know, no matter how low down we get, he's right with his arms out.
Yes.
Covenant.
Yes.
He knew what we were going to do before we did it.
Yes.
And yet he says, I'll bring you through it.
Yes.
Yet time after time.
Yes. Time after time after time. Because he knew you were going to do it about 53 times. So he said, he does a countdown, 53,000. So he does a countdown. He says, she's at 10 now. She's almost there. So he knows.
And when we get 53,000, oh, no, you got another 53,000.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
I mean, he's just so awesome.
He is awesome. He's amazing. Virginia?
Virginia? I like him. I'm glad to be back. But I like where it says, he who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God.
My God, yeah.
I love it.
You love it, yes.
I mean, that's my God.
Yes, amen.
And your I God. Think when we know that that's your God.
Yes.
And you have that security in him.
Yes.
And you, nobody's going to.
Yes.
Hey, that's my God.
Yes.
And if anybody tries to mess with that, you're going to say, hey, that's my God.
That's my God. Yes.
You know, and you open your mouth and you don't have to defend.
Yes.
All you got to let them know is you're talking about
my God. Yes.
And I don't have to withstand that.
Yes. Amen.
Because greater is he that is in me.
There it is.
Than he that is in the world.
Amen.
And I just love it when he personalizes that.
Yes.
Because it makes it so precious.
Yes.
That we serve a God that will actually take us.
Yes.
And let us call him my Lord.
Yes. My God. My. Yes, I do too. I love that personal aspect. And sometimes for humans, it's hard for us to get that. How can he love over 7 billion humans and still love me as an individual? He can. He can know all about you. He knows all your stuff, and he will talk to you personally about you. All in. He knows, because nothing's hidden from the eyes of God since the day you arrived on this planet. You know, and I mean, even before you came, you were born, he already knew you were on the planet, you know, growing up in your mama's womb, you know, and he knew everything about you. And so when he talks to you, it's so personal. You're right. It's so personal. And I just love that about him. Anybody else? Did you have a comment? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. We're going to go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for the word of God, Lord God. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you how you care for us, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. Yes, it does cut us sometimes, and it does hurt sometimes, Lord God. And yes, Father, we have been guilty of resisting it, Lord God. But Lord, right now, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would be open to the word of God, whatever it says, Lord God, that we would submit to it, that we would trust that you love us. That's why it is in place, because you loved us, oh God, and you didn't want us to be abused any longer. You didn't want us to be beaten up any longer, Lord God. So you left your word for us to follow the instructions so we can come to victory. So, Lord, I pray that your people would take it in. Oh, Lord, I pray that your beloved would know that you love them with an everlasting love. And that if you say no, it's because you love, Lord God. If you say yes, it's because you love us. Lord God, if you say wait, it's because you love us, Lord God. Oh, Father, let us submit to you. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, and we pray again that you would increase and we would decrease, Lord God. Have your perfect work in us, Lord God, so that we can go on and do what you have called us to do. Lord, I know it's beautiful. I know it's wonderful for each and every one of us, and I know it's tailor-made for each and every one of us. So, Lord, I pray we would walk in it and we would trust it. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, the word of God, we pray. Amen. Amen.